there, it's Toby, and before you get started on this episode, I wanted to tell you about our sponsor, Retropop Relics. Retropop Relics has been creating some of the coolest 3D printed giant video game cartridges. If you visit RetropopRelics.com, you can see a bunch of the cartridges that are already available. You can get Super Smash Bros., Paper Mario, Super Mario World, Pokemon Red, Blue, Yellow, and even Green. These are perfect decorations for your game room. So again, go check out RetropopRelics.com. And if you use the promo code GENIE at checkout, you'll get 10% off. RetropopRelics.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey there, gamers. Welcome to the Single Levels Podcast. On this week's episode, we go dancing into a Discord inferno.
Whatever blows your hair back.
I'm player one,
Toby.
And I'm player two, Goobs.
We also have lots of other players on the dance floor tonight. Kick us off, First Lady of Bad Secret Media.
Taking the player three spot, Jenny Bean.
And over there in the corner, we got player four. Introduce yourself.
You got me, Berg. I guess I'll be player four.
Then whoever wants to jump up to the plate, we got player five.
Oh, that's me. I'm the hidden optional boss. Poppy the Mask Eaton.
Then we also got a player six.
That's Grim on the multi-tap.
Do a barrel roll.
And player seven.
Lost in the sauce. Parallax Puddles.
Then we have, last but not least, we got player eight.
Let's go here, taking up the back of the line.
We got quite the crew with us here tonight for a Discord Inferno. Our friends in the Discord, they ask questions, we vote on them, and then we have them on the show, and then we discuss the topics that are brought up. So we're going to go with the most popular ones that were voted on tonight, and we're going to start with Best Video Game Sidekick. Why don't you kick it off, Jenny Bean?
Okay, so definitely for me, one of my favorite game series of all time is Kingdom Hearts, so I'm going to go with Donald at the Donald and Goofy pairing with Sora in Kingdom Hearts. Hella fun to play with them. Super funny, super cute. Definitely very powerful. So yeah, that's my choice.
Yeah, you don't want to fuck with that pair.
Well, I will go next. I would say it's a toss-up for me between Rush from Mega Man and Sonic's Tails. But I think Tails is going to have it just because in like Sonic 3, he can help you fly places. And he can be a pain in the ass, but you can also let your friends or family or whoever play as Tails. And, you know, Rush, you don't get to control. Like, he just comes out as a little support thing. But Tails is there with you through the entire adventure. And
yeah, he sure is.
Yeah, so
it could also be a pain in the ass, though, sometimes.
Yeah, I get it, but, you know.
But isn't any sidekick?
Right. It's better than the sidekick from Phantom Fighter, the useless assistant.
Oh, for fuck's sakes.
He blocks. So, yeah, Tails is my choice. I think he's the coolest. Plus, he's got two tails. He's got two butt plugs.
He's a freak.
Speaking of tails and such, let's go to our next one, Keaton.
Yeah, if it's not Tails, I don't know who it is. He's literally just there to help you. He doesn't get... Oh, actually, no, he does get in the way a lot sometimes.
Yeah, he gets in the way a lot.
If you got another person controlling him, then he's great. Just, you know, go do the thing, Tails, and I'll just dodge all the blast attacks, and Tails does all the damage.
Yeah.
So I think, honestly, the fact that you can't have a second player control Tails makes him one of the greatest sidekicks. That's all
good
I got.
Answer.
I was
Next
not prepared.
Next, we'll go with Leaf Go.
All right, I'm going to go with Zero from the Mega Man X series. Kind of a weird one, but hear me out. Whenever you start Mega Man X, You get to the first boss of the game, and you cannot even do damage to him. Zero jumps in there and just knocks him out with one blow. And more or less, I see Zero as something that you aspire to be in that game. And as the game goes on, you end up with his Buster if you do it right. You end up playing as him in X3. You end up losing him in X5, only to regain him again. And he was so popular, they ended up making an entire offshoot series for him on the Game Boy Advance.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a super popular character. He's badass, man.
Yeah, I mean, if when you say it like that, like, Tails doesn't have a spinoff game that I know of.
Tails Adventures.
Is there a Tails Adventures where it's just Tails?
Oh, yeah. Real stinker, too.
Ooh, what's that on?
Game Gear.
Oh, interesting.
Toby's jumping on eBay.
You right.
Oh, man.
Toby Rachel Wien, 2024.
It's like a weird little adventure Bomberman type deal. It's
oh, I might actually like that then.
You might already have it if you have the Sonic Origins DLC. I think it might have been one of the games included in that.
Oh, cool. I don't think I have that Origins, but I'll have to seek out that game somehow. Somehow, guys.
Okay, Berg, let her rip. I don't mean your ass.
Well, too late on that. There's just a constant stream of gas coming out. Anyway, so I am between... option one is Yoshi, because he's your faithful steed in his first introduction, and he's gotten plenty of spinoff games. Some amazing.
Yeah. Also a sacrificial lamb.
I was going to say, some people... people like to be jerks to Yoshi to get that extra sweet, sweet height. But, yeah, we've all done it. But, I mean, Yoshi's there. He's definitely become his own character in his own right. But I think he'll always be known as Mario and Luigi's faithful steed. My other one, and I should actually say my other over 1,000, are all of the Pokemon. Because, like, in the games, you play as the trainer, and your sidekicks are, like, your team. Of Pokemon, and that can be any six that you want to put in your party. So you got 1,000 plus options to choose from. Here's pick them. You want to go Bulbasaur? You want to go Ditto? You want to go Pidgey? You got it.
It's not a bad.
So those are my answers.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Having 1,000 sidekicks is better than one.
Yeah. You got options.
We have to go and catch them and force them to be your sidekick, though.
You will be my sidekick.
I just picture you driving in a sidecar with, like, Graveler on the side. Grim, what are your thoughts?
Well, I actually thought about this because I had all this time. Okay, I've been waiting to unleash this, all right? I definitely think you could go with a Kazooie here. And I'm just saying, think about it.
I don't like this bird, answer.
The bird that carries you with its swift wings... You can ride on its back. It can run places, jumps, fights for you when you're a useless bear. I think that's a great sidekick right there. It doesn't even ask, you know, that it doesn't even want anything from you. It just straight up is like, oh, something happened to your sister. Let's go get her back.
That's a really good answer.
Can you choke it and shoot eggs as well?
even if everybody wants to see sexy Gruntilda.
Ooh.
I always hated her voice, though. I'm not gonna do it.
How about when she turns sections, she's like
You mean she wasn't sexy to begin with?
Sexy-er.
Aleko's got a witch fetish. He likes them big and nasty with boils and
hey, I love him, warts and all.
Ah.
Before this gets any weirder, Puddles, what are your thoughts, buddy?
All right, so I have two, technically, and they're both from the Zelda franchise. And the first is from the Ocarina of Time. It's Navi. You gotta love Navi.
No.
Yay, no. I was going to say that.
Listen, let me explain to you why I love Navi.
You said listen, yeah. We don't need to hear.
Hey, listen.
And there it is. Insert the soundbite here. Okay. Not only does she give you the most pertinent information on how you need to control the game, she is the reason that you have a lock on. She's the reason that the camera controls on that shitty controller of the N64, it made it so much easier. You just press Z and hit. She was the reason. Without that, that game would be a little more rough.
Is that the song the Hoobastank was singing about? The reason is you. They're actually singing about Navi.
Yes. You didn't know that? And she's blue. And the reason is blue.
Fun fact, I have a Navi tattoo.
Oh, do you? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep. On my link, I have Link and Navi.
Listen.
Best Navi tattoo Navi. Ever.
Damn right.
Look.
Listen. Okay, I guess it's my go.
Yeah.
So I'm going to choose the Blob from The Boy and His Blob.
Oh, nice.
Who doesn't want something to just follow them around? Like, it's a good sidekick because you can just feed him jelly beans, which are light, and you can carry multiple of, and especially now with jelly bellies, there's so many flavors. So who knows what the fuck this thing can turn into
now? Wait a minute. Are you the Blob and you have your beans? Jenny beans.
Let's see what you're doing, you fattest. But yeah, so with all the options of jelly beans that we have now in this world, imagine what the Blob can turn into now. You never fucking know. Just feed him beans.
Yeah,
that's a stoner's best friend. One for me, one for you.
You know what would be horrific though is getting the Harry Potter jelly beans.
Oh God.
Well, no, you'd be nice to your Blob. You don't feed your Blob bad beans.
Gotta get the mystery box where you don't know what's what.
Oh no, we're not playing that game with my Blob. I'm gonna treat him nicely. So he turns into nice things that are helpful. But it would suck though if you're like you're in peril and then you're trying to pick the right bean, but you have a whole bunch
There's
in your pocket.
Too many
He's just turned into like a fire hydrant, a ladder, an axe, all these different things. They all have something to do with firefighting right there.
Yeah.
All my choices. You're in a flaming building and you give him the cinnamon one and he turns into like a blowtorch. Damn it.
No!
Yeah, I think that would be a good buddy to have around. It doesn't talk.
Yeah, it won't annoy you.
Yeah, it doesn't say, hey, listen all the time.
Listen. Look.
Get off her back. She's cool as shit.
If I was on her back, she'd be a smudge on the floor.
She would just flap near you'd never get her. And she'd just be screaming at you.
Hey, listen.
I hate this.
At least she's not a bird.
The next question. You go and listen to one band singer for the rest of your life. Who do you choose?
I mean,
we'll start with Puddles on this one.
This one's hard.
Oh boy, you caught me right off guard, didn't you?
What's next? Maybe I was not looking at the right questions. I was not expecting this one either.
Oh boy. Is anybody ready? Because I'm toying with two right now.
I'll go. That's fine. Okay, go ahead. I'm going to go with the Beatles because the catalog is huge. And there's tons of different Beatles went through a lot of different phases with their music. So you have lots of variety. And it's all awesome.
Well, it says
I wouldn't get sick of it.
One singer.
No, it says one band slash singer.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just one singer.
Nope. Yeah, get it right, Toby.
Ah, see, I was like, now you got to pick one of the Beatles.
No, don't make me do it.
I was really about to make it hard for you.
Ringo
would have been John. Yeah, that's my choice.
I can go next. I think I've talked about it on our Patreon and on our show enough. I love Every Time I Die, so I would listen.
You're gonna force them to be back together and be angry with each other?
Yes, I don't care. This is for my pleasure, not theirs. But when I thought it was just a singer, I thought I was gonna say Keith Buckley, which he's got a new band right now called Many Eyes. I just love his voice. I think he's got a great voice, and I would also pick Schuyler from He Is Legend. I think they just have incredibly cool voices. So. Yeah, that's mine. Easy peasy.
Okay. Berg, what do you got to say?
I think I'm going to go with one Mr. Ben Folds. He is my favorite musician, and he's got such a huge body of work. He's been a solo artist. He had his band Ben Folds 5, which I would count under the umbrella because it's got that DNA. It's not a drastically different thing, but He's also done a lot of other cool things, like he's done like a classical album. He's done he did the Fear of Pop album, which is I really can't classify as anything because it's bizarre. He's done an a cappella album. He's done a good variety of stuff, and he's got a ton of music. So he's always my go-to. If I don't know what to listen to, I can always find a Ben Folds song or album. And so I'm going with Mr. Ben Folds.
Yeah, you got me into a bit of his music, too. He's a very entertaining musician.
I don't think I've listened to Ben Folds in, like, 15 years.
I actually just had a new album come out in June. And I was like, I knew he had one coming out this year, and I was like, oh, when does that come out? And it was like, this was like early September that I discovered that it had come out. I just completely missed
it. Oh, wait, it's already
out. Like, oh, I was like, when is this release? June 2nd. And I was like, wait a second, what?
Well, at least I don't have to wait.
Exactly. I immediately was on Spotify. I was like, download.
Yep.
Hell yeah, that's a good surprise.
Ooh, Berg, I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
So in my other lifetime, I used to help my dad move furniture and stuff like that, and I totally moved the keyboard player that they have in Ben Folds 5.
Oh, that's cool.
That's Ben Folds. He's the pianist. The pianist.
Oh my god! It could have been for all I know.
It was probably his. Wow, that's awesome.
That's really.
Yeah, cool. I mean the place was huge, man.
Nice.
So keep going, Grim. Let us know who you can listen to.
Oh, for me, that'd be pretty simple. I think I would pick Justin Courtney Pierre of Motion City Soundtrack.
Oh, wow.
For me, I'm a huge fan of that band. I've seen them live more than any other band, and I just have such a deep personal connection to their music. I've always been a sad boy, first and foremost. And, you know, I just feel like no matter what, you know, each one of their albums is different enough that I wouldn't get tired of it. And then I also get his solo work, too, which is also phenomenal.
Nice.
Puddles, are you ready?
Yeah, so with a lot of thought into this, it's got to be Miles Kennedy. So Miles Kennedy is based on a rock sound, but he's a very, very, very bluesy influence. Anything he sings is incredible. His range is insane. He can hit the highs, he can hit the lows, but everything he sings, whether it's altered or not, is incredible. So smooth and clean. He doesn't need auto-tune. Screw auto-tune. And when he's paired with Mark Tremonti, it just makes Alter Bridge good.
Nice. Is that the singer of Alter Bridge, then?
Yep. He's from Alter Bridge. He sung with Slash. He had his own band, The Conspirators. Oh, yeah. He does his own
shit. The song Blackbird right now, so.
Watch Over You is a good one. That's one of my favorites.
I'll go check it out.
Watch Over You and Broken Wings. Incredible tracks.
I guess I'm the last one again. Oh, no, Keaton. Go, Keaton, go.
Go, Keaton, go.
When do we have a shout-out?
Go,
go. To the old gods of Asgard, because they're an amazing band, but they're not technically a real band, so they don't produce a lot of music. But the music that they have produced is great. So for a real band, I would have to go with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Good choice.
That's a good one.
Oh, Toby, that was perfect.
They've got such a wide variety of music and such an extensive library that they've got songs to pep you up if you need pepped up. They've got songs to bring you down if you need to be a little calm. They got it all.
And good
variety.
And they have songs about
California.
Just in case you didn't get the joke the first time.
Hey, I got to beat that dead horse.
Hey, you guys know how much a chili pepper weighs?
A true pity.
No.
How much?
I don't know. Just give it away. Give it away.
I like that. You're going to hell for that one. Wah, wah, wah.
Chad Smith is real good, by the way.
Did Lethko go?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, last one.
Mine's very stereotypical anyway. It's Iron Maiden. It's a stereotypical answer, but they've got a huge back catalog, if you like metal at least. Like, if you like the punk stuff, first couple albums. If you like classic metal, Number of the Beast through Power Slave. If you like experimental metal, you got 7/7 of Seventh Son. If you like shitty metal, they got No Prayer for the Dying, which is an awful album I don't recommend. If you like the darker stuff, they got X Factor, Virtual 11. If you like progressive stuff, they've got Brave New World, Dance to Death, Senjutsu, and Book of Souls. So a lot of variety. And
they have a massive catalog.
They've had three lead singers that are all completely different styles, too. Paul Di'Anno has a really raspy voice. He did the punk stuff. Blaze Bailey, he's got a really rich, deep voice. And then you got Bruce Dickinson, who's called the Air Raid Siren for a reason. So they'd be my choice.
And then it's me.
The fearless leader.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a band that's been through or been there my whole life. I was even a cover band as them at one point.
ICP.
As the lead singer. No, I wish it was an ICP cover band. I'd be Violent J for sure. I got to go with the big W. I got to go with Weezer and Rivers Kimono. Because Weezer has definitely a massive back catalog. And they also do a lot of covers, which I love. They have a whole bunch of fun stuff going on. One hell of a band to see live.
Yay!
And like just those, the first two albums there have been through, like, been there my whole life. Whenever I'm feeling happy, sad, mad, or glad, I go back there and listen to those albums. And it just brings me back to good old times. And then also me and Jen got to see them live together. So it was just like a huge experience for us. It was great. So I'm going to go with Weezer.
I like
that Teal album is real good.
The which one?
That Teal album.
Yes. That's the cover album.
Mm-hmm. My brother bought that for me on vinyl. Oh boy.
I covered that.
The cover of No Scrubs.
Oh boy.
Let's go.
It's so good.
Hey Goobs, you know how you always say that you really want to fight Kiss?
Yeah.
I feel that way about ICP.
Ooh.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Hey, man, to each their own.
Woot, woot.
When they do wrestling stuff, you might be able to get your wish.
He's whooping. That's a war whoop.
It's a war whoop.
Right. He's laying it down. Whoop.
Okay, well, I'm going to start off this next question after I read it.
Okay.
Which guest characters would you like to see in DLC in the new Mortal Kombat, and what would some of their finishes be? Well, I'm going to go with Violent J and Shaggy Tudo.
How do they work? Perfect, so I can beat them up.
And, like, their finisher would be, like, there's, like, shove Fago up your urethra, asshole, and or mouth. and blow you up. Or, like, you know, just, like, chop your wig. Do some chicken hunting shit. There's a whole bunch of stuff they could do. Swing, 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 chop, chop, chop. They have an axe for a reason. Or they just blow up the world because fuck the world. I can just go on with a whole bunch of references.
Yeah, you totally
could. Or they put you in the dating game where they order you a drink and stir it with their dick.
I love that song.
Yeah, I'm going with Violent J and Shaggy. Fuck it, that'd be sick to have in the Mortal Kombat game. You know how much sales they would make if they were in that fucking game? Juggalo Nation would save up their $2.50 and definitely go and buy it.
Yeah, they'd make like a whole like $500.
Fuck you. Berg.
So I actually was the one who posted this question in the chat months ago. And this was before they even announced Mortal Kombat 1 was coming out. I remember it was like right beforehand we were talking about this. But I remember the thing that prompted me to do it was you all were doing the Inspector Gadget episode for the show. And I said, what if Inspector Gadget was in Mortal Kombat?
Yep.
That'd be so badass.
I want Inspector Gadget to be in Mortal Kombat. But he's still like it's kind of like what they did with Omni-Man, where it's like he's realistic, but he looks like like he does in the comic. Like you can still see it's him, but he's still like very goofy. He has the Don Adams voice, and he's just unwittingly incredibly violent and just completely unaware, and always going wowzers and stuff like that. and then his fatality is the Go-Go Gadget copter. And he just plows right through him, just chops, you know, chops
him. He goes to call like the van and car in.
Yes, and also Brain is in the background half the time, actually saving Inspector Gadget's ass.
He jumps in like as the block, like Gadget hides his face, and Brain comes in and blocks the whatever the fuck's coming at him.
I love it.
Or no, you know what his finisher is? Forget that. It's a new one. Remember how at the beginning of each episode, after he would read this message, will self.
Yeah, he threw it in his mouth or whatever.
That's exactly what it is. Like the character's standing there, and all of a sudden he pulls out a thing. He goes, "Oh wowzer! I'll be right there!" And he balls up the thing and like he throws it at whoever he was fighting, and hops in the van and drives away. And then it just blows up, but fine, bloody explosion.
You know this. So this not for this Discord Inferno. We'll save it for the next one. But we need to book the. The Saturday morning Bloodfest game, where it's just Saturday morning cartoon characters.
Yes.
No, that's awesome. I love that.
Let's go with Grimm.
Oh, man. You know, it's a very simple thing, right? So, me, I'm a huge Elder Scrolls fan. And in that game, okay, well, in that game series, right? There's one in particular that I think everybody could get on board with, and that's the Dovahkiin. Now, when you go to certain cities, right, you'll hear about Ulfric Stormcloak shouting apart somebody. So I'm just saying, we could have the Dovahkiin, and he could do some dragon shouts. He could just yell so loud all your bones break. It could be pretty cool. Yeah, and then of course they could have their axe. You could just make it look like the standard, like, Nordic character that they did for the trailers, you know? I think that would be really cool. You know, be the Dragonborn.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
And then, oh my god, you could have that badass, like, intro song. Dovahkiin, 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 Tosparin. Although it sounds Jenny. Like a state.
So I love taking kids' things and making them terrible. So we'll go with the Canadian equivalent of Mr. Rogers, Mr. Dress-Up. And his fatality would be the tickle trunk. He'd throw you inside it and it would eat you.
Yeah, so he had this trunk.
Yeah, he had this trunk. It was called the tickle trunk, and he would pull out like different costumes out of it or whatever.
It was like his plane
horrible
trunk.
As it is.
Yeah.
Either that or give me some anime characters. Like, I would love to see, like, some Demon Slayer characters or Attack on Titan characters, like, you know.
Or the Naked Titan?
No, not the Titans, but, like, I don't know. It'd be something cool.
Slaps you with his dong.
If it wasn't for Inspector Gadget, my serious answer was going to be Vegeta.
So. Yeah, see, that'd be cool, too.
Because we've got Omni-Man and Homelander, and I think Vegeta would be, like, on their level. It'd be fun to see.
Yeah.
I'd be doing some anime
characters. More anime.
Helsing would be pretty good for that, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Mr. Dress-Up, he'd draw you a little picture.
Yeah, I literally just looked up, I Googled tickle trunk, and I'm horrified by what I've seen. Jenny, well, are truly the queen of the darklings. This is an awful thing that only clearly...
It might not be the same thing.
No, there's no way that's not him. There's no way that's
He's an
him.
Old man.
I'm living in a nightmare. I know. He's got like six hands, though, Goobs.
And no, that's not Mr. Dress-Up.
Who is that, then?
I don't know what you're looking at.
Mr. Dress-Up's just, it's like a kid's show. It's just an
old
guy.
Are you sure? It's an old guy with like a trunk.
Post it in chat so we can see it.
That must be some Rule 34 shit right there.
Right.
It's an AI image. They got the number of like...
in my trunk.
Are you going to be tickled to death? All right, I posted it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Goobs?
I can't see anything.
It's in the Discord chat.
Oh, Lander.
Yeah, that's Mr. Dress-Up.
Oh, yeah, he's got his crazy spider costume on.
He's got a spider costume on.
That's horrifying. Imagine getting put in a container and being tickled with six arms at one time.
Actually tickling you.
That's his fatality.
Yeah. What are they putting in your maple syrup? Holy crap. I feel just dirty looking at that.
No, I feel like he drives a van.
Stop making fun of our childhood icon.
Yeah, he's awesome.
We're making him scary from Mortal Kombat.
Canadians will stand up with us. Mr. Dress Up as an Icon.
I can tickle six at once.
Okay, Mr. Funny Guy Puddles, who you got?
Okay. If I have one quote for you, and I want you to guess who it's from, and I guarantee you're going to be wrong.
There's no escape. The only hope is the sweet relief of death.
What is that? That sounds so familiar.
Elmo.
Nope.
It's the Luma.
That's Luma Lee from the Mario movie. Okay? I want to see what Luma Lee has to offer. Okay? She already is in this cage. How the hell did she get there? Why is she there? And why isn't she breaking anybody out? She's made of fire. She could explode the thing. She's known that she can fly. Why isn't she just escaping? Okay? When somebody punches that thing in the face, what happens? And what's the finisher?
Just singing sad songs.
I'm envisioning, like, you know, those Doug Trio memes where it's like the giant body underneath the ground, right? But it's Luma Lee just exploding in fire, and what comes out is just Pain Dragon.
Yeah, that's a good one. Keaton.
All right. Mortal Kombat. I think, you know, I can't help but got to stay on theme to what it looks like they're going for. And it looks like they're going for comic book characters. So just straight up Wolverine.
Nice.
Oh, man. Berserker Barrage.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. A Wolverine game where he can finally do what he does best. And what he does best is not very nice.
Steal candy from kids?
Yes.
Through the face?
Yeah, he's going to steal candy from Ferritor. That's exactly what my plan is. Crom's bones.
It would be really interesting to... I mean, I know that they've got DC versus Mortal Kombat, but throwing in Wolverine would be really interesting. Him versus Baraka? Like, that's his rival for some reason.
Oh, heck yeah.
Clang.
Yeah.
Why not bring all the universes together? Once Mortal Kombat starts bringing in people, you unite a whole bunch of weird universes. It's like the Tommy Westenfall of the video game world. Right. There's a reference nobody else gets.
Did you go?
I got it. It's Tommy Westfall. I got you.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Lethco, did you go yet?
Not yet. I've got two here. The first one would be a video game crossover one. I was thinking Albert Wesker from Resident Evil. He starts out in that human form, but he's got a few special attacks where maybe he'll start to transform. A tentacle will come out from an arm or something. Figured for his fatality, like all the tentacles come out from his mouth and they wrap around his opponent's head and he kind of eats the opponent's head.
Yeah, that's badass.
I figured that would be kind of fitting. And then for movies, I was thinking about Samara from The Ring. She would be interesting. She'd be like half the size of your normal roster. She'd have a tiny hitbox. Wouldn't do a whole lot of damage because she's hard to hit. But she'd get more powerful as the round goes on because she's got to wait 7 days before she can do her thing.
That's horrifying.
Little TV.
That would be great, because like at the end for a fatality, she could just jump up on the shoulders of her she's fighting and just start biting and clawing into him. Screen fades to black, and then the screen kind of like slowly fades in with static, and then you see her start to crawl out of your TV.
Or she pulls you down the well.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Love good horror characters in Mortal Kombat. And Toby rounding out this one.
All right, I got two different ones. One is real easy. Ash from The Evil Dead. And, you know, he's got his chainsaw hand. I think that'd be cool.
Say hello to my boomstick.
Yeah, he pulls out the boomstick for a projectile. I would love to see, like, his fatality be something where he pulls the Book of Evil out and opens it up, and maybe they get sucked into it, and it spits out their bones or something. But here's the one that I really wanted to bring up that I think would be fun. The Undertaker from WWE. and like even write it into the story that after he retired from his wrestling career,
and saves the Earth realm.
Yeah, he had to retire from his wrestling career to save the Earth.
Oh, he had to go save from parts unknown.
Yeah. And of course he's just got a really badass like tombstone pile driver that.
Oh, when he uppercuts you, Paul Bearer says toasty.
Oh my god!
He doesn't say toasty. He goes woo. maybe something to do with the urn.
He's a big inspiration for me.
The urn. Yeah, I know he is. Do something with the urn and like you know. He actually opens the urn because you know he never touched the urn for all those years and stuff.
All the souls come flying out and fuck people up or suck them in or something.
Suck them in, yeah. Like he's kind of like Shao Kahn.
Suck them deep.
The Kirby.
I was looking for the button, but here it is.
Phrasing.
But yeah, those are my two.
Undertaker would be cool. I was thinking of a wrestler too. Well, I put two wrestlers in there, so.
No, Shao Kahn, Kyle will take Giant Gonzalez.
We should add all of these into the game and make it very much more interesting.
Right.
How about we just make our own fighting game with these characters? It's still just ultra violent like Mortal Kombat, but it's just
a weird mix of characters. So they're like, how did all these characters come together? I don't know, a podcast.
Secret Oh my god. Secret Fighters. That reminds me of like a good idea I had. Sorry, Goobs.
Oh, I just had Secret Fighters.
What's next?
That's a good one.
Non-copyright infringing combat.
I like it.
That's just Mugen, however it's pronounced.
Yeah.
People just open source. People just do that. I'm sure all of these people / characters that we mentioned are probably in some version of that.
Yeah. Yeah,
Mugen's pretty awesome. Okay. Sorry.
I'll say I have seen Razor Ramon in one of the Mortal Kombat 3 Mugens.
Oh,
so,
I have too. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, playing with the guide. When do you do it? How does it affect the fun factor of the game? Let's go with Berg first.
I mean, it's kind of different now than it was back in the day. Like, back in the day, I still have them. I have a nice collection of player's guides. I think they're fun. Because you get all the lore and extra pieces of like official artwork that never got released or whatever. But I think they're good to have. They were good to have in case you got stuck somewhere. Like, it's fun to play through a game as much as you can, but every once in a while it's sort of like, okay, how do I do this? And it's nice to have a reference to be able to do that. I mean, I guess the modern equivalent of like just looking it up online. I mean, there are sometimes I'll do that. Like, I mean, even for a very recent example, Super Mario Wonder, I've beaten the game, but I'm going back trying to 100% all the levels, and some of those Wonder Seeds are super hard to find.
Yes, they are.
I'm not going to lie. I've definitely looked up a few how-to guides about how to get to some. Some I'm like, oh, that's really stupid. I can't believe I missed that. And some of them, I'm like, wow, I would have never thought to have done that to find that. So I use them when I'm stuck and absolutely have exhausted all my options. There's that sort of like feeling of like I can feel like this bubbling up, this frustration bubbling up inside of me. Like, I'm like, okay, there's a certain point it hits and I go, okay, this is let's just look it up.
Yep.
Let's just do it. And then you look it up and you get through it. So
yeah, that's pretty much it right there. When you get stuck, you just, instead of getting frustrated, fuck it. There's no harm in looking that up. Keaton.
I will, unless it's a puzzle game. If it's a puzzle game and I'm stuck, I'm looking it up. But if it's like just a game I'm enjoying after I have beaten it, if I'm still invested enough to want to see the stuff I missed, that's when I go back and look up a guide. But I don't want to look up the guide until I've beaten it or until I've exhausted my efforts and I'm stuck.
Okay, so it's like a last-ditch effort kind of thing.
Yeah, that way I kind of... I don't know. That way I feel like I get to explore it more myself.
Yeah, that's fair. Some people like that, and some people really fucking don't.
Oh, yeah, like I took Hollow Knight, for instance. Anybody wants to look up how to get to the stuff in Hollow Knight, totally don't blame you. There's a lot there. There's a lot to find. There's even a couple of things that can affect other things. But for me, I beat it, and I'm like, cool, I beat it. But there's that side quest or two that I wanted to finish, so I had to go look up guides to find the last of the things. The grubs are adorable. That's all I got to say about that.
Jenny Bean.
For me, like with guidebooks at least, I mean, I know they're not such a big thing now, but I would always use them for games that were huge. I'm a big completionist. I like to finish games, so I wouldn't use it for main quest things, but I would usually use them to find side quests, like where all the side quests are located.
So you have them for like Fallout?
Yeah, and Skyrim. Any big open world game like that, where I know I want to find every single side quest and do every single one, that's the kind of thing I'll use it for.
That's a good answer. Leafco.
I use them a lot for role-playing games, and I feel like if they're done right, they can enhance the game, as long as you're not the type to like skip and read ahead. But if you're using it as you're going through the game, it can put you in that game world even more. A good example would be the Player's Guide for Earthbound, which was written like in-world, almost. It was like you're reading the newspapers of the towns you were in, which I thought was a really good way of going about it.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, then there's bad player's guides, like the one for Final Fantasy IX that literally tells you as you're flipping through the pages, oh, you want to know how to do this thing? Go on this website.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But as long as the guide is done properly and you're not using it to burn through a game, but instead to enhance your enjoyment of the game, I say go for it.
Sweet. Toby!
Well, I am one that feels that a strategy guide can enhance certain games, like Pokemon back in the day. Like you,
fuck yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That
Pokemon, you would know where like each Pokemon was, because yeah, you can walk around aimlessly for hours trying to catch a Pikachu, but you'll never know that it's in the forest early on, you know. But it gives you like the statistics on how often it'll pop up in the area, or some of them will. I don't know about all the strategy guides. And then, like, for, like, Fallout, I love strategy guides because I like to play ahead. You know, like, I want to see everything play out, but I don't want to do something that'll hurt another mission. You know, like, if I'm trying to do something specific, I want to kind of follow along with it. Now, I won't, like, I'll read to where I need to get to be like, okay, go do this, and then I'll try to play what I can of that. But, you know, you don't want to, like, if it gives you a choice of, like, kill this person or don't kill this person, then you're like, because that'll like, make different factions mad at you. It'll cause different missions in the future to not be able to be played because you killed someone or didn't, or did, you did or didn't kill them. So, you know, I love strategy guides. I think they're perfectly fine. I don't have a problem with it. You know, if it makes your enjoyment of the game better, then I don't see a problem with strategy guides. And you know what? Some of us just aren't very good at video games, and you need them. And also, back in the day, strategy guides for like fighting games, like Mortal Kombat 2, that was like my Bible.
Yeah, they had all the finishers in them and all the moves.
Yes, yes. And I just remember, like, I was a little kid, and I had the strategy guide for Mortal Kombat 2 and 3, and I would just put it on two-player, and I would just do the fatalities. Like, you know, I would go through each character and, you know, get to the finish him part and then just try out the different fatalities. That way I knew I'd have a chance to try to see them all. So yeah, I love strategy guides. I think they're great, especially for people that may not be video game inclined.
Yeah, Grim, go ahead, buddy.
Oh man, where do I start with this? I would say my experience with these are almost none. I've never used one. I would like to think I'm pretty good at games, but I will say the first notable time I ever really used one was when I played Metroid Prime for the GameCube, because there's so much backtracking, so many secret power-ups to get in that game that you could just very easily forget about and overlook. And it was the same thing with its sequel too, Echoes, that it's just, yeah. Like, in those situations, you know, when there is really cryptic stuff to be had, or perhaps you don't have time to sit there, like Toby said, and wander through the forest and go back and forth, you know, and to find out later on that, oh, you can't get Pineco in gold version. You have to have silver version, you know, that like you start to see the value that those things used to have. I mean, nowadays, the information's just a tip of the way at your fingers, you know. But back then, yeah, definitely, I feel like was a great asset to many a gamer, for sure. Whether it was Mortal Kombat, Pokemon, Metroid Prime, or what have you.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Puddles.
So, years ago, I probably would have said, you know, they're probably not good to use because it's cheating and games are meant to be played as they are distributed to you. But as I get older and I have kids and jobs and responsibilities, and games also are built to a level in which they know that guides are made, especially YouTube videos. So I imagine YouTube videos is kind of folded into this same equation. So recently, I was playing Harmony of Dissonance, a Castlevania game, and I do love Castlevania games, but I got to a point a year ago where I was so catastrophically lost that I had all of the information in front of me, but none of it was explained in a fashion that I was able to pick up and continue through the game. Now, this game has so much good look to it. The sprites are awesome. The colors are great. It was on the GBA, so they made all the use of the colors. There's so much to this game, but I got so catastrophically lost, I put it down for a year. I looked up, I got back to it. I looked up a guide, found out what I was supposed to do with that one stupid armlet that they didn't even tell me what to use it for. Figured out what it was for, and I was able to progress through the game to a point where I'm ready to fight Dracula now. I enjoyed the hell out of that game, but I didn't for a year. I was ready to condemn it because I couldn't figure out what the heck to do. But that guide saved my ass. So guides are great. Guides are good.
Some gray hairs.
You know, when you got a game that's built to a point where they expect you to figure this out on your own, you don't have the time to, but you want to experience the game, use a guide. You're going to have a good time with the game that was put in front of you. And it's not cheating.
Damn right.
Yeah, those good old Brady. I think that was the company, Brady Guides.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love my Pokemon ones because they came with extra stickers, too.
Oh, yes.
But the stickers weren't just like cartoon versions of the Pokemon. They were the actual in-game sprites of the Pokemon, which is very rare to have. Like, normally if you see a Squirtle, it looks like Squirtle, not like an in-game Squirtle.
Right.
So yeah. I love the extras that would come with those guidebooks as well. A lot of them did come, like some of them came with standees or shit like that you pop out, like cardboard cutouts or a whole bunch of different shit.
Yeah.
And also, like what I mentioned.
Oh, go on. Sorry. I didn't hear.
Go ahead. No, you're good.
I was just going to say, I kind of mentioned earlier, you saw a lot of official artwork that sometimes you didn't see elsewhere. Like, I think back to the Chrono Trigger one where there would be pictures of like in the game you would get weapons, and a lot of times because it was 16-bit sprites, other than like maybe a palette swap, it didn't look that different. Like when Chrono gets the rainbow sword at the end, it kind of has a purple tint to it, but then you would actually see the actual artwork of that sword by Akira Toriyama, and it was like, oh, that's really cool seeing what that sword looks like, or like the different fists that Robo has, like how they look. Some of the items, like there was one item, like a magic tab, I think, and it looked like a cigar or something like that. It was very odd, but I was like, huh, it looks like a cigar. That's interesting. But it's cool seeing these things as they were intended to be, especially in an era when you still kind of had to leave some stuff up to the imagination. It was kind of cool seeing what was intended versus what was in your mind.
Yeah, totally.
Physical media should live on.
Yes, you're here.
The last one I used was for Borderlands 2, I believe. My buddy picked it up for me, and I went through it and helped me get some of the sick weapons. So that was... I don't know why I just started up with the recent one I used, but hey, they are useful. And I use walkthroughs a lot, which is kind of the same thing. If I get really stuck on a game that we're getting our asses whooped by, I'm not about to not beat it. I'm going to find out how to do it and then check it out and then learn.
Yeah, we
and then defeat the problem ahead of us. Cause
we have to look that up a lot, don't we?
Sometimes. I say about 50% of the time.
Yeah, me too.
Or just to help me out somewhere, especially with the more challenging games that we play. We play a lot of challenging games. You cannot deny that, folks.
Right.
We get frustrated a lot, and that's why we motherfucking rage.
Rage.
Okay, well, I'm about to...
Come on!
There we go. All right, I was slowing the uptake. I was like, wait, hurry.
Speaking of raging, I'm going to go run outside for a bit because I'm getting overheated. I'm going to go do a lap around the block.
Okay. Well, I'll take over while you're gone, buddy.
Okay, thanks, man.
Yeah, go cool off for a second. Hey, everyone.
He's leaving in the middle of a record.
What's everyone's favorite Goob's Genie moment while Goob's is gone?
Oh, the one where he didn't show up. The one where you were so sad that he did not show up. The whole episode, you just couldn't deal with it.
I didn't know where he was. I thought I killed him.
He's always looming. He's always there. He was with you the whole time.
Yeah, I know. And he just...
He's here now.
He was on vacation, I believe. I believe that was during Rageween 2 or 3.
Yeah, he went to a genie convention.
Right. That's right.
Like raises many questions. Episode.
The Little Mermaid episode? What happened in that one? I don't remember.
He was a crab.
Oh, yeah. Under Toby.
I like the Fleeny. I like when he was the Fleeny.
Oh, yeah. All the Fleenies.
A colony of flea genies. unfortunately, due to my game recommendation that I'd never played before, but I just saw it and was like, hey, you guys should play this game.
Yeah, I'm still a little upset with you about that.
Yeah. I also like, I don't remember the episode, but this was like an early on in the show's history. I just remember him talking about how like his little genie tail. He's like, ooh, that's actually my wiener, Toby.
Well, I've learned that everything is his wiener. You just
everything. He's a colony of penises making up one. He's like a Portuguese man of war.
He's a cocktail.
he's like a Frankenstein of dicks.
Yeah, if you zoom close enough, you can see all the phalluses.
They all just look like the genie.
One of my favorite genie moments is, and it's in our, when we did the Shaq Fu Sega Genesis review, and we go on the time traveling adventure because, man, those sound effects were so realistic. I mean, they were realistic to me because it happened for real. I time traveled, everyone. Time traveled.
I am aware.
Funny you bring that up because one of my favorites had to be the Chrono Trigger one. That's when we learned that, or where I learned at least, that other people can see the Goob's Genie, which means he's not a delusion in your mind.
Right. Yeah. No.
I was. Wait, that's weird. How was I there? Because that was like 2020.
Hey, don't worry about the timeline there, Bert. Okay, that's weird. Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah, it's only 2023. Interesting.
Did we fix the Maytag yet?
I think it's still in the shop. We'll have to check when Goobs gets back.
Check the recalls on that.
Did Bean leave us, or did she also go with Goobs?
Would you like to know my answer? My answer is none of them. It's my least favorite part of the show. I skip it all the time. I don't like it.
I do remember that there was...
We all know how I feel about this.
There was a Beanie Genie one time.
No, that would be cool.
I don't recall what episode that was, but there was a Beanie Genie, I believe. Or maybe there was talks of a Beanie Genie behind the scenes.
I think there was talks of it. Yeah, I don't think it ever actually happened.
Yeah, it happened in one of the earlier episodes. As it's called, the Genie Beanie.
That's right.
It was one of the very early episodes.
Yeah. The Goob's Genie is not my forte.
Yeah.
So when are we getting the supercut of all the Genie skits?
If that is
you mean the
you need the blue tier on Patreon. I'll subscribe. What's that? No. $10? $20?
The blue tier.
From the way Toby talks, I didn't think the genie was cut. So
yeah, no, he's not, and it's very. I won't say it's gross.
Let me be clear though. Even though I don't like the genie, I still love the show.
Yeah, thank you.
I just not that part.
Yeah. Anyone else have any favorite genie moments they want
to? Oh, I think my favorite was hit the ice.
Oh, where he whooped my ass?
Yeah.
That was a really good one.
That was unprovoked, and I'm still talking to my lawyer about all that. I know.
What are you talking to your lawyer about, Toby?
Oh, nothing, buddy. Hey, do you know what's the next question?
Okay, this one has a bit of an audible here. We're going to try it out. So, if your collection came to life as if, like, a random comet went by or something brought everything to life, like a curse, like all your collectibles, I'm talking like the old Spark, maybe, like all your, like your video games turned into little fucking robots and your action figures came to life, a la Puppet Master or Toy Soldiers.
Is there a Stephen King movie about this?
Yes, Maximum Overdrive. Yeah, but if that happened, because you survive, let's just say the night in your house, or would you be overcome by
your collection?
Your collection.
I'd be dead.
Well, we get to team up though. We live together.
Ooh, that's right.
So we could watch each other's backs.
That's true. Wait, no. It'd be like the skunk situation. I'd be dead.
No,
you'd survive. I'd be dead.
I just throw them all at Jen to distract it while I run out like George Costanza.
Exactly. I love my things too much. I couldn't hurt them.
Because we probably have like well over 100 Funko Pops. Like those at little least, things would pile up on you. We have a whole bunch of other action figures, a whole bunch of wrestlers.
Now, do they
Halloween Town? Do they come to life to kill me?
Do they get the powers of their character that they are? Because that changes things.
That would totally change things. Like have a mini Wolverine fucking running at
you. Right.
Yeah, then I'm definitely dead.
So if we were living in Toy Story, would they kick your ass?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I'm looking at my amiibo collection going, oh, I'm fucked.
Yep.
Well, if they have all the powers, yes.
That alone.
If they don't have the powers, though, I think you might be able to stand a chance or just small.
Yeah.
But, like, you have to have shoes on, though. You're not fighting them barefooted.
No, yeah, you got to kick them. You need steel toes.
You think you're doing well, and all the Lego minifigures come out, and it's like,
no!
Coming down. God, it's with the lid flies off the all box and start piling out.
Yeah, you just hear, like, Lego shuffling. Oh, God, no! Because we probably have about 10 pounds of Lego in the house, too.
Yeah.
All you hear is... It's all formed
building
together.
Itself together. Oh, my God.
That'd be terrible. Like T-1000, but Lego.
Terrifying.
You punch just the corners, it, just, like grows back up.
Just the corners just alone would cut you till you're dead. I mean,
yeah. It was just punching Lego. Just my hands hurt already. Oh, I don't know if I want to fight Lego.
All those unfortunately, wrestlers lay in the mini SmackDown.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm a Star Trek guy, so I've got a bunch of Star Trek model ships. I can just imagine them hovering and shooting at. I'm screwed.
But they just shot Nerf bullets.
Right. By molding out the shape.
But they have the powers of the. So they come to life. That's what I'm getting, right?
Yeah, we can go with the powers.
Yeah, if they have the powers.
I just imagine you have a. Starship Enterprise, and they actually beam you up, but then like full-sized you is crammed into this tiny toy version of the Enterprise, and it's just like fingers and eyeballs popping out and just blood dripping.
There was a DS9 episode about that. They had to shrink the shuttlecraft so they can go inside the ship and take over.
The worst part is I'm doing a build of one through Fan Home. It's like a 2.5-foot model Enterprise, but it's all like die-cast metal and everything. So, yeah, I'd be screwed.
I have that one in progress.
Yep, same here. We'll have to exchange photos.
Oh, boy.
Nimoy Vimmer, baby!
Okay.
Nimoy
Vimmer. I want to tell you what my problem is, because I've got a, like, 36-inch Superman toy. 36-inch Superman toy, so it's pretty big already. But then I also have the White Ranger sword and the Green Ranger dagger, and if those are coming to become real, now this little 36-inch action figure has Megazords. So
or just two swords to fuck you up with.
Right. Either way, I'm screwed.
Superman talking to Saba.
And
well, if he gets a miniature dragon sword, it's like 6 foot tall.
Yeah, that's funny. And I also have replica Dragon Balls. So,
oh no,
do those come to life like also where you can get Shinron and make a wish?
I'll allow it, but the thing is though, you can't make the wish,
right?
Like your toys would make
Superman
the wish.
Does
Superman? I mean, I've got a lot of different toys, so I mean,
fucked up by your Garfield collection.
Yeah, that alone is, I'm toast. They're gonna shove me in that Garfield.
What could possibly go wrong?
The Garfield fish tank that I have.
I get drowned in LaTanya.
Yeah.
What about if they put you in those pictures you got of Garfield Toby?
Yeah, the busty Garfield that I got for Secret Santa from you.
Hell yeah.
Quite possibly.
I still need to frame those.
I don't know.
Keaton, are you surviving the night?
I'm not sure. I have a lot of amiibos, but a lot of them are Smash characters, so in theory, they start fighting each other.
That's true.
They see you as the opponent still. You just
can't. They might be triggered. Be like, Master Hand, beat his ass.
Yeah, Master Hand.
Yeah, that is a good point. Other than that, my biggest concern is the creepy Sea of Thieves foul bounty skull that I have, that it starts coming to life and whispering weird secrets to me. Yeah, that could be a big problem.
Yeah, that could be.
So I'm probably survived, but corrupted by dark magic.
Let's hope not. Buttles.
All right, so here's my current situation. I just received my Green Ranger pop figure in the mail, and he's currently sitting 2 feet away from me. He alone is going to kick my ass. On top of that, I've got the Enterprise from the original series ready for takeoff. I've got the Enterprise refit from the first movie aimed at me. I've got the Millennium Falcon loaded Lego aimed at me. I've got Starscream, Megatron, another Enterprise, a Bird of Prey, Boba Fett, 2 X-Wing, Bowser, and a series of links that makes an entire chain ready to kick
my ass. They're all that size, though. They don't get bigger. You couldn't take them out?
If I got hit with a few proton torpedoes, I'm done. Photon torpedoes, I'm done. That's it. And then I'm getting hit in the eye with a Lego shooter, and then I got Starscream crawling down my trachea. I'm done for.
Came over, man.
I told you once before.
Here, I actually have that sound effect. Don't say anything. Let me do the sound effect.
Game over, man. It's game over.
That was close.
Yeah, Green Ranger's cool as shit. He just came in the mail.
Grim, are you surviving?
Man, I would have probably said no, but then I thought back to our earlier conversation about Pokemon, and then I was like, I have every evolution down there right now. And I have Snorlax. I have giant Charmander. I have a giant Charizard. I think they would defend me against my...
No, they're all turning on you. Everything you own.
Turn against you.
Yeah, they're not high enough level.
But I'm their master.
Nope. Well, they're revolting.
Damn, I don't know, man. I think I'm dead.
Ash also didn't get any badges until he got to the league.
Because, I mean, it's like not only that, I have like... I'd have an entire Lego cities attacking me. That would... Man, I don't think I'm going to make it, guys. I better start writing my obituary. I mean, there's that. There's my TIE fighter. I got Lego Mario. Oh, my.
Yep.
We're screwed. Well, it was nice knowing you guys.
Yeah. Is that everyone? I think we got everyone.
Yeah.
Okay, on to the last question.
The main event.
And I'm sure... people are just going to push the soundboard right after I say this question. What video game lines do you constantly quote?
You like it possibly, go wrong.
Let's start with the Queen of Spooky herself, Jenny Bean.
Puffy!
Resident Evil, well, that one too, but Resident Evil 4, what do you need, stranger? All the fucking time.
Well, yeah, we do.
I open my coat, like, all the time. You can run. So that's mine.
What do you need?
Stranger.
Okay, let's just run down the list here. Berg.
Hello. I caught a Pidgey.
Goodbye.
Even though I don't think that was the exact line, that was essentially what the trainers in Gold and Silver, when you got the cell phone, would call. They would call it the most mundane things, and it was, I don't know if that was exactly it, but I'm pretty sure there was one who would call when he would catch mundane things. So that's just become, it's sort of almost like a Secret Levels meme for those who aren't in the,
yes,
in the Discord chat. But for all intents and purposes, it's from a game, and I quote it all the time, and a lot of us do.
Anything else?
I'm sure there are other ones, but that's the top one that comes to mind.
Mr. Keaton.
I am a big fan of the Zelda quotes. I enjoy "It's dangerous to go alone, take this." And I'm also a big fan of whenever somebody joins the Discord of "Yahaha, you found us."
What about "I am error"?
Yes. I like that one so much I got it on a t-shirt.
Where can you get that t-shirt?
Well, available at secretlevels.com's website. Public. I don't know. I got it from Toby's site.
You can go to tpublic.com/secretlevels and get one of our beautiful t-shirts from one of your beautiful chests.
Yeah, like that. For $1.
I own a ton of those shirts.
Leafco.
All right, I got three I'll bring up. The first one, very non-ironically, from the time I was 12, would be Bubsy, What Could Possibly Go Wrong? Because my mom rented that game all the time, and I heard that sound clip so much that it just stuck. Horrible. second one, Final Fantasy I, Garland Will Knock You All Down. Love using that one a bit. And then the third one, anytime I'm doing any kind of stupid or dangerous work on my vehicle, if I'm helping someone else, maybe in their electrical box, so I can do some electrical. If my fate is to die, I must simply laugh, from Chrono Trigger.
Nice.
Good ones.
Buttles.
All your bays are belong to us.
That's so good.
As well as the one that's most pertinent in my mind right now. You are filled with determination.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Undertale. Show us all hands. Grim.
I think for me, I'd have to kind of revert to something a little more simplistic, but I think that would have to be, I don't think anybody's going to expect this one, but I just recently brought it back into my brain about how much I actually loved this quote. And whoa, that was close. You were almost a Jill sandwich. Resident Evil.
Well, boy,
Jill,
but I'd
the
like
master of lock picking.
It should prove useful as one. You, the master of lock picking. Take it with you.
Toby.
Oh, I've got so many, especially from the show and including them in the show with all the sound effects and whatnot. But one that, like, I don't get to say on the show very much, and it's in Mario RPG, when you're at the part where you have to jump in the cake or whatever with the bakers, they say "what" with a V at the beginning of it. And I used to say that so much, but then I would be like, oh, no one gets that reference. So I kind of, I've let go of it a little bit, but I still love it. And I still think of it when I say What?
I can't wait to see that in the remake, by the way.
Yes, I know, right? And then I love all of Professor Oak's quotes, like, yeah, oh, we're yeah. close. And, you know, and those I hello there, welcome back. Like,
you were close.
I say those all the time. And, you know, obviously you know the ones that I love because I edit the show and I put them in every time I get a chance. So, yeah. Even the I'd buy that for a dollar, even though that's like, you know, that's on RoboCop and stuff like that. I think that one's real funny. Yeah,
I'd buy that for a dollar.
So yeah, there's a bunch of them, and I actually had a couple more in my head before I was listening to everyone else's and I forgot them. So that's just a few.
And I gotta just say, a winner is you.
Oh, Welcome to Die. I love Welcome to Die.
Oh, yeah, from what? The X-Men arcade game?
Yeah.
No one said never give up.
Yeah, never give up. Rise from your grave.
I got one if I can share that real quick.
Oh, hey, Ringo.
Yeah.
My favorite video game quote is a little more recent. It's going to be, you forget 1,000 things every day. Make sure this is one of them. And whenever I'm making a mistake and someone catches me, I usually quote that at them.
What's
from
that
my GTA 5.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's from GTA 5.
Gotcha. Love it.
Also a big fan of I Feel Asleep.
Oh, yeah. What is that on? I can't remember what that's on.
Metal Gear on the NES.
That's right.
Every time I'm at work, I feel asleep.
If you played Tears of the Kingdom, here's another one you probably heard a bunch of times. Demon King? Secret Stone?
You know what? There's another one. I used to say it a lot. It's from, I think it's WWF Raw's War on like PlayStation 1. And it's Shawn Michaels. He goes, I'm going to dance all over your face. And I used to say that all the time just because it's so weird. And I don't think he ever said that in a promo or anything. It was just something he says in the game randomly. I'm going to dance all over your face. And it's just real weird and choppy like that.
Does the music from No Mercy count?
Diggity dog.
Socko.
Yes, 100%.
And what about our sponsor, Icy Hot?
Fucking Shaq Fu Reborn game. That one, that just, you know what? The quotes in that game are funny as hell. As bad as that game is, the quotes and stuff are so good.
Yeah, might as well end it on this note. Oh, sorry, go on.
I was getting ready to ask if you've played the WCW game on the Super Nintendo.
I probably have, but is there a funny quote in it?
The entire player select screen where all the wrestlers are
saying their quote. Yeah.
I thirst for high impact.
Oh, yes. That's funny. Good
Who
stuff.
Deserves the belt? You want Vader?
Is that everyone for this one? Did everyone get their quotes in?
Okay. We are all wrapped up. Well, that's all the questions that we have for this episode of Discord Inferno. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us, and let's get our pluggy poos in. Let's start with Jenny Bean.
You can check out the Nocturnal Mystery Podcast, a show about the mysterious, paranormal, and supernatural. New episodes every 2 weeks, wherever you get your podcasts.
Berg!
You can find me on the Zing This Podcast, talking about all sorts of crazy, nerdy pop culture stuff.
Lifko!
I do Afterglow, Retro Gaming Memories. It is bite-sized episodes, about 15-20 minutes, each featuring my memories on the particular video game. We are the rental sticker on the back of the cartridge.
Keaton, you got anything you want to plug or share with someone out? Keaton, are you back?
I am. Let's see, I rolled randomly on the chart of podcast, and it came up with Tales from the Backlog by Dave Jackson.
Hey, that's
good. It is. Yeah. So, you need to go check that one out.
Yep, I agree.
Puddles is someone you'd like to plug.
You know, I was going to do Tales from the Backlog, too, because they just had their 2-year anniversary, but I'm going to go ahead and plug the Still Loading podcast, because... He's cool. He does a lot of retro games. He also gets a lot of, what do you call it? I'm terrible at this. God. He gets a lot of interviews. He had Ian James Corlett from the cartoon fame within the past year or so. Again, I'm bad at this. Leave me alone.
It's all good. That's a good show.
This is why I don't do podcasts.
You AJ, better do podcast.
Who'd you say?
AJ. Wasn't sure.
AJ, you got anyone?
Grim, what do you got?
I'll do it for Ringo. Dave Thomas, Wendy's.
Founder of Wendy's.
Founder.
You were close.
Fucking Ringo.
He doesn't cut corners.
But Wendy's does.
Grim, promote your show, buddy.
Yes, the Lost and Gone podcast. It is all about media that never fully made it. And so far, I've got 2 episodes up. The first one's about the California Raisins and their canceled NES video game. And then sticking in the same vein, I decided I was going to do the failed Game Boy Color port of Resident Evil that never got released, and that one's a pretty wild ride. Toby and the Goobs Genie make a guest appearance on there, and
I don't want to say keep fucking saying really Genie after my name.
Don't worry about it, buddy.
You'll learn when you're magical. Older.
Yeah. And I think that's everyone, and then me and Toby, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter. Toby's at Toby Von Doom. I am at GoobsWN, or sorry, X. Still not used to that stupid shit. If you want to support the show, you can go to badsecretmedia.com. You can find out a whole bunch of different stuff there. Right, Toby?
That's right.
And if you want to support us even further, you can go to tpublic.com/user/secretlevels. Get one of our beautiful t-shirts and put one of your beautiful chats. Also, go check out our sponsor, Retro Pop Relics. Go there. Use checkout and checkout code GD for whatever the fucking reason to save yourself 10%. And Christmas is coming up, so go get some giant, awesome cartridges of your favorite past games. What systems are they on, Toby? What systems can you get?
You can buy giant cartridges for the Super Nintendo, the Game Boy, the Nintendo 64, and the Switch. They're great. They're big. There's all kinds of different cartridges up available. And you can also request carts that you don't see on this shop already. So share the memories for this holiday season. And, hey, did you play Goof Troops on Super Nintendo with a sibling? Get that for him for Christmas. It's a giant, great shelf decoration.
Yeah, bring back those childhood memories, that's but give right. them something big to hold on to. That sounded wrong. Talk about cartridges.
Phrasing?
Got out Mr. Tickles.
Leave Mr. Dress Up out of this.
Mr. Dress Up.
And yes, thank you to our patrons for supporting us. We love you so much. Extra special nicknames next time. And don't worry, we got you covered.
Extra special?
Extra special nicknames. And yeah, thank you to everyone for listening and participating. Thank you all for coming here and spending your time with us. And have yourself a prominent evening. Game over, folks.